It is a joy to see you. Thank you for choosing to get out and to be together and worship as one body. And if you're a guest online, welcome. And stick around, because when we get done, there's a video that we want you to watch that will help you get connected here. And if you're a guest here, stick around, because Pastor Patrick is going to close us out with some great information. And we recognize that significant portion, vast majority of our church will continue to worship online right now. So we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep doing on campus 9:30, 11 for right now. So thank you for being here. I want to cover a little bit of family business real quickly before we get started and jump in the Word. Number one, keep your eyes open, head up tomorrow for an email from us about a system change and some improvements that we're making in the days and weeks to come that you'll really want to see. So keep your eyes open for a Carmel family email for that. And I want you to save the date, two dates actually. Wednesday, July 22nd is our church meeting. And that's where we will vote on our new deacons and elders and church budget and all such things. And if you're interested in that, there'll be an email link for registration and all that. But also the second date is Sunday the 26th, which is just 2 weeks away, and it's Celebration Sunday. And if that's new to you, or maybe if it's not, you just need a reminder, that's when we look back 12 months and we just celebrate all that God has done and his faithfulness. And then we look forward as well to what we feel like God is leading us to. But this year will be unique because we're not simply going to look a year ahead. We're going to tee up the big three sermon series, which is three Sundays coming soon after that, where I'll reveal our big goal for the next decade for all things nearest, our big goal for the 10 years for all things neighbors, and the same for the nations. So we're really excited to get to share that with you finally and to get to that point. And the last thing I just want to say before we get going is thank you. Thanks for being here, but thanks for being so open-handed, living generously, volunteering, serving, all the things that you do to continue this thing going forward. It's weird days, I get it. And all of my friends who are pastors are saying the same thing. It's going to be like a slow toddler walk back to normal. And we've just got to show a lot of grace to each other on how we relate and how comfortable we are with this or that. And so let's out-grace and out-love everyone around us. Deal? So let me pivot from there and ask you a question. What are you afraid of? What really frightens you? What are you most afraid of? What are you afraid of, like, above all things? I was hanging out with Pastor Patrick this week, and he was telling me, he said, you've got to watch this movie about the free climber that climbed El Capitan. Yeah, somebody saw it, yeah. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah. I said, you know why I couldn't do that? Like, besides the other 10, I couldn't do that. But one of the 11, why I couldn't do that is because I'm afraid that I would be like stretched out like this, and right there would be a spider the size of my hand in that crack. And I'd probably let go and die because I was afraid of the spider. And that's why I would not be able to do it. That's really not what I'm talking about when I say, what are you afraid of? Like spiders and snakes and stuff. But what are you afraid of? What has caused you to wake up at 2 in the morning over the last few months? What are the fears that grip you and paralyze you that you think about? Some are real and some are imagined, but they have the same effect, right? They just kind of shut you down. Because the very first verse of today's psalm is this: blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And here's what I want to do today. I want to challenge you and encourage you throughout the message is to choose your fears. Will you choose to fear the Lord first and foremost, and to allow that fear to bring shalom to all the myriad of the other fears? Because these will paralyze and this will free. This gives bad stuff. This gives shalom and life. And so let's jump into the text. Let's look at what it says in verse 1 and following. It says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And I just want you to notice This first word, you know, we throw that word, that's totally a word that's overused for us, right? In church, in Christ, we'll bless you. When we sneeze, that's blessed, that's a blessing. But just soak for a moment with me. Blessed truly means in Hebrew context and thought, a sense of happiness. And I want you to make the connection, like, really? Like fear and happiness. But there's something mysterious that happens when we choose to fear the Lord and we find the sense of blessedness, the sense of goodness, sense of happiness that just settles over us. And when we choose to say, I'm going to fear you more than anything else. What's the context of this whole psalm anyway? Psalm 111 in front of this and this one go together. They're like a package. They're a package deal. They're both acrostic poems. So Hebrew poetry is not like our poetry. Like they don't rhyme it like we do per se. It's more about taking the first letter of each line and going for us A to Z from Aleph to Tav in 22 letters. And so if you're reading it in Hebrew, you're seeing this progression through the alphabet. 10 verses, 22 letters, walking through. But here's the difference. Psalm 111 that you would have just finished before you read this verse is about like the big story, like God's big story, like who he is. Psalm 112 is all of our little stories that are under the banner of his big story. And corporately, we make up the big story, the meta narrative. And so not to overstate this, but the rabbi in Hebrew context would have disciples they called Talmid, right? And they would follow him everywhere. And it wasn't like, I don't want to just know your stuff. So they would walk with him, they would sleep around the fire, they would fish, they would 24/7 live together. So when Jesus is saying like, hey, come follow me, it wasn't like, hey, come to my conference or come to my church and then go home. It was like, no, like, come hang out with me, like live, we're gonna live this thing together. And in this Psalm 111 and 12, you can see this beautifully portrayed because it's like, this is what God, who God is. And this is what our lives should be like following him. Like two guys that sit around the campfire, both smell like that beautiful smell of fire, right? In the same way, when we follow him, we'll look like him, we'll talk like him, act like him, all those things. And so I want you to let that context soak on you and hear him saying, blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who delights in his word. So I want to just blow you away. I hope it blows you away. Psalm 25:14 says, the friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Are you God's friend? Think about this for a moment. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him. Like he opens his heart, the secret counsels of the Lord, all those things are revealed in our surrendered fear of him, reverence of him. And you go, what? Psalm 33:17 says it in a different way. Remembering a horse in Old Testament is like a symbol of strength in war. It says, a horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it can't save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him. On those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Is he looking at you? Now, of course he is. And let me just clarify real quickly. This is not like a performance thing. Like, I got to like do these things and then God's my friend. And then he'll look at me. No, what I'm saying is this. Is that he tells us this promise that says, when you fear me and I'm looking and I see, there is this intimate friendship that develops between the creator and the maker of the universe and a human being. That should impress you. That should get your heart, that should get your mind to go, I want that. I want that. I want to have a friendship with God, not irreverently. In fact, it's all about reverence. So it's not a flippant cavalier attitude that gets you to that friendship where you're warm and cozy and fuzzy and fist bumping dad. That's not what I'm saying. There's a fear and a reverence to him that somehow in the mystery of the way God works welcomes this intimate friendship. So there's this totality of awe, awesome, and friendship, which is why you can see it's blessed. It's happy. Like when you're friends with God, life's good. Life's good. And when we delight in his word, when we take the word intimates, like just have a pleasure with, having delight and pleasure in. You know, as a youth pastor for 10 years, I remember saying a lot to the kids, hey, you got to have your quiet time. You're getting the word, guys, you got to have your quiet time. And we say that enough, you begin to think that it's some kind of duty. Like I really should do this. I'm supposed to do this. Can I just turn it around for you and just say, we get to feast in God's word? That when you open the word, that there's this feasting. What's your favorite restaurant? Where have you not gotten to eat maybe through all this? Or maybe it just reopened and you went. Maybe it's home, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's somewhere out there. Maybe it's that place you go once a year because it's expensive and it's just like the best whatever. And your mouth is watering now as I talk about it, right? It's so good. There's this goodness about eating and feasting. May we have the same anticipation about opening the word and feasting on God's word to feed our soul, to feed our spirit, to get nourishment from it, and to find strength in it. You know, you've heard me say through the years now that every Sunday morning when I walk in the back, I pray as I'm walking from my car in, as the water falls from heaven and brings forth fruit and vegetation, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be. It will not return empty or void, but it will accomplish the purpose, same word here, the purpose for which I've sent it. It's this beautiful word where there's this delight in God's heart to give us his word that bears fruit, and it's a delight to us to eat it. Like when my mom makes a chocolate cake for my birthday. I typically don't eat chocolate cake, but I throw down once a year on mama's chocolate cake because she has delight and I have delight in sharing that wonderful chocolate goodness, right? May we find that in the depth of God's word. He goes on to say in verse 2 that his offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It's well with a man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Do you see the markers of this life? Does this describe you? Would somebody say this describes you? That when we fear him and delight in his word, things happen. There's a graciousness and a merciful and righteous. And here's these two words that we looked at last week of the standard, this objective truth that doesn't change in his righteousness. And justice is the way that that gets distributed. Not retributive only, but more about restorative, like caring about those less fortunate and being a blessing to them and loving them and giving of your life and resources to them. And he says, when those things are happening, look at verse 7-6, the righteous will not be moved. And we've unpacked this a good deal over the last several months, that life feels very unstable. It feels very, nothing is consistent right now in culture. Every day you wake up and you look at the news, you're like, well, I'm gonna just see what's changed, what's different, what's gone, what's here, all these changes. Could it be that God's word would give us such a hope in the midst of that? And the more it changes, the more this doesn't change. And it's an anchor for us. It's this stability. This word for not being moved has a sense of being shaken, about being slipped, about to totter. Listen to how Psalm 94 puts it. Verse 17, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. And when I thought my foot slips, same word, when my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Lord, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. And so what we have in Christ and in the word of the Lord is a stability that you just can't buy anywhere else. You can't get anywhere else. And because of that, he's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He won't be afraid. And this is where it starts to get really fun in the language, because it really brings out a secret to this. There's a truth embedded in this, and I want you to really look to see if you can find it. It says that his heart is firm and steady. And the word for firm has the sense, I want you to look visually, it has the sense of being upright, of being like vertical, like being planted just securely. The second word here for steady has the sense of like to lean against. It's more moving to this way. And so I want you to see that what he's saying is no matter which direction, whether you're upright or leaning into something, there is still the steadiness that he promises to give us. What's really cool here, this afraid, it's the same word that we had in verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. And what he's saying is this, I don't want you to miss it. You're going to choose to fear something. And when we choose to fear God, there's a blessing, there's a peace, there's a grace, there's a mercy, there's a steadiness. That doesn't mean that it can't be like crazy scary. It just means in it, we have this mystery of a peace that passes understanding. But if we choose to be afraid of all the other, we get none of that. Because the more you focus on the fear, the grander and more clear it becomes. I passed out once in a doctor's office. I didn't do what I was supposed to before I went. And I passed out. It's a long story. But the room went like this. And when I woke up, Christy was in there and she's like, what happened? I'm like, I don't know. Ask him. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story. It was weird. I should have done something. I didn't do it. And boom, I passed out. But I remember the clarity of focus, like everything went to this super tiny spot and then out. And that was all I could see for a split second before I woke up. And when we focus and choose to look at a fear, it can be significant, guys. I'm talking about COVID. I'm talking about job loss. I'm talking about marital strain. I'm talking about 1,000 things. It can be legitimate. I'm not saying like spiders, but when we choose to look at it at the expense of looking at him, when we choose to fear it, what might happen over fearing him, we have two totally different outcomes, two totally different results. The secret in the text is there. Is that passive or active? It's active and it's daily. Like we wake up every day and we say, I choose to trust you this day. Nothing's different than it was yesterday. But I'm going to choose to put my trust in you. Because there is a joy and a delight in this. This is it's an old illustration, but with a twist. Don't miss this. How many of you have stood in the pool begging your kid or your grandkid to jump to you? And you're like, come on, man, I got you. And they're just like, no, and they run away. And then finally one day they jumped and you caught them, right? And it was like, this is like one of the greatest days ever. We often think about the joy on that kid's face, right? Like, just like, wow. And then it begins, do it again, daddy. And you're like, oh no, what have I done? Because 500 jumps later, you go home for supper. And you're exhausted, but your heart is so overjoyed because there was this moment. What hit me this morning as I was thinking about this text was this. What about the father's face or the mama's face in the pool? But in the text, what about the father's face? There's delight in the jumper. There is joy in the catcher. There's joy in the daddy because he's like, he trusts me. She trusts me. And like, this is good because everything in life is built on trust, right? Horizontal relationships and verticals as well. And I thought, wow. wow, Lord, I want to bring delight to your heart when you see me as a gray-haired official senior citizen this week. Boy, who will still trust you if you tell me to do something that just doesn't make a lick of sense. Because the danger is, as you get older and wiser, we do less of that because we're mature and we're wise. And that's a part of it, and it's important. But sometimes in our maturity and our wisdom, he says, jump. And we jump. And in that catch, we find joy. But the Father finds joy because he sees us in our, yeah. This word is used 2 times in the Old Testament. This one for trusting, just 2 times. The other one is in Isaiah 26:3 when it says this, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. So what is your fear? What is it when I say, I'm afraid of fill in the blank? Because we're going to have a little exercise here in a moment to do, but I want you to think about it. Because I want you to lay it at the feet of the Lord and choose fear wisely. Verse 10 ends this way. This is the last verse in the chapter. Does this sound familiar to you? Well, I'll give you a hint. The first verse in this chapter says this, blesses the man who. 10 ends with this. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Does it sound oddly familiar? There's a Hebrew motif called the two ways or the two paths where the writers would contrast like these two paths. This is one path, this is another path. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked or sit in the seat of mockers or stand in the seat of mockers or sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on that law, he meditates day and night. He's like a tree that's planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season. Whatever he does prospers, but not so the wicked, like verse 10 here. Not so the wicked. They're like the chaff that the wind blows away. So is there anything more contrasted than dry wheat, that's chaff, that the wind can blow and a tree that is rooted deeply into the riverbank drawing sustenance? That bad boy is strongly planted. And you see the difference. And the secret is that trust thing. Do I trust you? Do I trust him? About 16 years ago, I was about 2 years in as lead pastor at my last church, and we had a building campaign. It was the first one that I was lead pastor of. I was there for other ones as a team member, but not senior pastor. And it was about a $9 million project called the Legacy Project. And we had a big day. I had a giant tent. We wanted to raise every penny so we didn't have to borrow a penny. And we did it. And we finished. And I went to my office. And I sat down with my executive pastor. And we're waiting for our financial administrator to come and give us the number. Because they were in the other secret room counting pledges. I was 39, and she walked in. I was like, give it to me. What's the number? Is it like 10 or 11? And she had a tear coming down her cheek. I was like, it's 11. It was 1. It was 1.2. And I started to cry with her. And I was like, oh, no. I feel like a total failure. And so I took a few days and I went down to Galveston and I sat on the seawall in Galveston, which was the best you could get down there in Houston. And I read Psalm 27 sitting on the seawall alone, where it says, one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he'll keep me safe in his dwelling, and he will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. He goes on to say in the rest of at the end of the chapter, he says, the psalmist says, I am still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and I will wait for the Lord to be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Because our dilemma was, do we just build a shell, it was a huge building, and just leave it empty, or do we just plow ahead and trust him in this? And where we landed was, let's trust him. Let's trust him. And that was when I started going gray. Seriously, I had brown hair and then quickly started going gray. But we jumped. And the funny thing was, is the whole $9 million was paid for in cash within like 3 or 4 years. And I learned something then. Something funny about church life. A lot of us don't want to pledge, but we will give generously along the way as the Lord provides. Seen that multiple times. And it grew my trust in him, not me or you, my trust in him, that he works through his people in his faithfulness. So no matter how old you get, some of you are still really young, some of you are old. No matter how old we get, we still have this grand opportunity and call to fear him. So let me circle back and ask you the first question I ask you of the day. What do you fear? What do you fear most? And I want you to choose this day to fear God. And what I want you to do, we're going to pray here. We're going to have our prayer time around the altars of where you sit and at home, where you are. If you're in your car, create a prayer moment. And I want to ask you to open your hands with me and just say, Lord, I give you my fears. Because guess what? He knows. Even if you've not told a living soul, he knows. And I want you to give it to him. And I want you to write later today or tomorrow. I want you to write, Lord, I confess that I am afraid of this, but I choose to fear you first and more. And I want you to pray that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Because sometimes it takes some rhythm. Because guess what? You might wake up Wednesday morning at 2 and go, oh no, it's back. We don't give up. Get back in the saddle and you ride a little further on that horse and you keep saying, I will choose to fear God and I will delight in his word. I will eat of his word. This is an aside. I just saw somebody that took me back to Chapel Hill. Psalm 1 that I shared a minute ago was the first scripture I memorized as a chapter with my wife, who was my girlfriend in Carolina. And I have feasted on that chapter for 35 years now, and I still see things that I've never seen. I still eat stuff out of that chapter that I had never eaten. That gives me great confidence and joy as a pastor to know that I'll never get it all, and I'll never run out of stuff to give you. Because the word, the riches of his word, the feast of his word beckons us to eat and to delight in and to find shalom in. So Father, as we turn our hearts to you now, we open our hands to you. We lay down those things that wake us up at night that we're afraid of. We ask that you would take them. We make the choice now to fear you first and foremost, to worship you first and foremost. Would you take a moment and make that your own? Tell him what he already knows. So last summer when we were in Mexico for our oldest daughter's wedding, we were around some trees that had the most ridiculous roots that I'd ever seen in my life. I was snapping photos of them, and I commented on it to Joy. It's not this. It's called a mangrove tree, and the roots are just phenomenal. But what's amazing about them is that they grow together. And they discovered that the more mangrove trees they had in the coastal parts of Mexico, the better that they would survive the hurricanes, because the interconnectedness of the trees created this amazing strength for the soil and the land. And so as you choose to trust, and I choose to trust, and you choose to trust, our roots are connected in the body of Christ. Telling me this, that we'll get through COVID, because great is the Lord, in his presence, his mercy, and his grace. That doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen, but that we will get through it through his goodness and presence and kindness. So don't isolate. Don't isolate. Connect as much as you can with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you for getting here today. Thank you for watching online at home. Thank you for all of you for being a part of this thing, this tiny expression of the kingdom of God that we call Carmel. And so before I ask the benediction, Patrick's going to come and give us some instructions for those of you here. Those of you online, if you would stick around and watch a video, they'll help you get connected as well. We'll be here Thursday morning at 7:30 online if you want to pray with us. It's been a blessing to pray with a lot of you. I see your comments. I know you're out there, and it's super, super great to pray together. So Father, would you bless and keep this beautiful body of Christ? Would you let your face shine on them to give them grace? And would you lift up your countenance to give them peace this good day? In Jesus' strong name, amen.